Jonah again. My name is Cece. I'm the host of Zeal Fujoshi. So I review manga and manhwa series. So how are you today, and can you say hello to a lot of my listeners who are Fujoshis and Fudashis?
Of course. Hi, I'm doing great today. I just got done signing some BL, as a matter of fact. So I'm doing fantastic. Hi guys, I hope you guys are doing just as well as I am.
So how do you like Anime Central so far?
Oh, I've been an attendee for, I want to say, upwards of 6 years or so, almost 7 years. I started coming in 2014 or 15, and ever since it's just been every year I want to try at least touch what's going on there. A lot of my friends are here, and I'm having a blast. It's a huge convention, there's all kinds of stuff to do. Only thing is, I don't get a whole lot of time to take it all in, you know? I think I get an hour or so after this to be able to walk around.
And, so busy.
Yeah. But I do get some time to actually walk around and take the stuff in, which is great. I always go back with some souvenirs and a lot of gifts from fans. It's fantastic.
Have you tried all of our famous Chicago food so far?
I think, yeah, over the periods of me being here, I've done deep dish, I've done hot dogs, we went to Fogo de Chao last night, all kinds of really good iconic Chicago cuisine, and it's fantastic. I went to culinary school for a year, so I absolutely love taking in local cuisine. It's great. And local beers, too.
There's a new brewery here.
Yeah? No, I haven't.
In Rosemont.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a brand new brewery. Okay. Just opened up.
I'll look it up and see if I can't get anything imported or something like that.
Okay. So, you portrayed a diverse range of characters from the Legoshi from Beastars.
Yeah.
And the formidable, of course, Goku Shibo from Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a lot of my listeners loves you for our bisexual king, Akihiko Kaji.
Yeah.
How do you approach this, distinct personalities that this character, they're very different. So how do you approach it?
Well, it all starts with the text. It all starts with the manga or the script that I'm given or something like that. And it's finding the story in that text and seeing what I can do to further enhance that story. Because it's never about me. It's never really even about just the character. It's about what we can do together as a director, engineer, and voice actor to kind of bring these characters back to life, you know? Because once we take the Japanese out, it loses a lot. And especially when you're doing a preview or something like that, it's kind of hard to listen to that, silent. So we bring a lot of cool stuff. I myself am bisexual, so that is... It's nice to be able to... Yeah. That's why it's... I don't want to say it's easy, but that's why I feel... I feel seen. I feel like there's representation there, and I feel like being able to be the guy that does that is an honor, a privilege. It's very scary sometimes because I know there are people who are just like me that want to see it done right, and I try to do it as right as possible. Akihiko, I think, was a very good example of that. And the director, David Ball, absolutely knocks it out of the park. He's fantastic to work with, an incredible human being, and he is very sensitive to that sort of thing. He's very sensitive to that sort of thing.
You can see it, absolutely. How you guys did that event, oh my god, I can keep rewatching it. I would cry every single time.
Yeah. And it's not shying away. I said with Skate as well, to some extent, but mostly with Given, it is Japan giving us the, giving us the 50-yard line, right? And then we have to take it all the way to the field goal because there's a lot of stuff you just can't say publicly in Japan. There's a lot of the BL that's on the Kamiket circuit and things like that. But that's very private and that's very clandestine. But something as big as Skate or Given needs to have that, you know, we have to take it the rest of the way, right? They're pretty obvious about it, but we can make it very obvious what the story is about. And I feel like that's what we managed to do.
You did.
Thank you. I'm glad. There. Fantastic.
So, you also voiced Koku Shibo from Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
And Katakuri from One Piece. Both are very formidable, villains, in a sense. How do you tap into their menacing personas and create such an impactful performance, which is very different from Legoshi and also Akihiko, right?
Right. So, when I was in college, we backstage during a lot of the stage shows that I would do. I would have this pseudo radio show call-in thing where I would just be backstage in the dressing room, no tech or anything like that, but I would act like a radio announcer, and slowly that started to evolve into a different kind of a villainous anime voice. It was very deep and resonant and things like that. And eventually I was just like, this is something I kind of want to maybe try out. And every time I did it for people, they're like, oh my God, you should do some anime or something like that. And getting the opportunity to audition for those characters alone was amazing. But being able to sit down in the booth and actually lean into all of that stuff and really chew the scenery with a lot of these villains, because with anime, it's animated, so you have to be a little bit over the top, but still skirting the line at just a little bit so that it remains cinematic and like real and feels very intimate. That's what I really, really like about playing anime villains, and getting to voice Kokushibo, who is also, like, Katakuri is my favorite villain in One Piece, but Kokushibo is my favorite villain in Demon Slayer. And it's another opportunity as a fan to be like, this is what I want to do, but also realize that, like, this is a lot of pressure. There's a lot of people who want this to sound good, and if it doesn't sound good, they'll let you know on TikTok, or, you know, they'll let you know all over the YouTube comments. So, making them distinct and different is actually a lot of the animators, because the animators, they take it halfway. Again, it's a lot about passing the baton in this industry, and a lot of the voice that you've already had in your head for Kokushibo is kind of just how he looks, right? Mm-hmm. And making sure that the voice sounds right coming out of it is just my job. And Katakuri and Kokushibo are two different characters, very different characters. And when they sound different when they're next to each other, but I feel like that's just because I'm informed by the animation, informed by the text, informed by the manga and stuff like that. And it just kind of ends up that way in the cake bakes itself, you know what I mean?
You know, like, speaking of cake, like, you know my favorite Katakuri scene?
Yeah, the donuts? I love the donuts.
I love the
donuts. I was so nervous to do that too, because the Japanese version is hilarious. Yeah. And I'm like, this has to be equally funny. I also want to show that I can sing a little bit, so maybe I'll throw in some vibrato or something like that. Yeah. But it was so much fun, because I had the opportunity to work with Nazee Tarsha, who is another fantastic actor, and we got to shop around what we both wanted for Katakuri, because he's a super big fan of One Piece as well, super big fan of Katakuri, and I got to pick his brain, and he got to pick mine, and we kind of like distilled everything we wanted about the character into my performance, and it wouldn't sound the same without Nazee.
Good. Okay. So, was there any challenges that you faced voicing characters in such unique storylines like this?
I guess the challenge is finding the story, is finding the story for me. Because there's the story that's in the text, and the story that's the natural arc for the character. But there's also a story of what does this character mean to me personally? Because once you start to get a little bit attached, don't get attached when you're auditioning. Please don't, because you may not book it. But once you get cast, you start to get attached, and you find that emotional attachment, and you find what makes the character real to you. You know, Kokushibo, that's a big arc on loss, a big arc on like transformation and becoming something new. Katakuri is a big arc on honor and discipline. You know, Legoshi is a big arc on discovering who you are as a person, even though you are a wolf, right? Being somebody who you don't feel, you know, it's discovering what the story means to you. And that is the hardest part, I think, about like doing anime, because the story already means a lot to you because you like the show, right? But it's, if you don't get cast as your favorite character, you have to be like, all right, what does this character mean to me? How do they work for me? So yeah, I feel like that's the crux of it.
Since you, like you said, you have portrayed a lot of characters that has a very passionate, you know, and dedicated fan base, yeah, right? Can you share any memorable encounters you've had with fans?
Oh my gosh, people giving me donuts for Katakuri. I love that. That's fantastic. I love donuts. Just like the character. Some of the fan interactions. I love going to furry conventions. The furry community has been fantastic. As a matter of fact, they have made it so that I didn't have to move back home from LA. As soon as I got cast as Legoshi, I had about 2.5 months, 3 months of like financial runway before I was done. And I got cast. I was really living very meager for a little bit, and then the show came out, and then I started streaming on Twitch, and they were the ones to pay my rent. They made it so that I didn't have to move back home. I was dirt poor. I was broke, and sleeping on the floor and stuff. So I eating beans out of a can. Distinctly remember eating beans out of a can. I'm just like, am I a, what is this? What is my life right now? They made it so that I had food and a roof over my head for the period of time so that I could start the momentum back up and make sure that I could support myself. And I wouldn't be here without the furry community. I would not. They are fantastic people.
With such, again, diverse portfolio of characters, is there any specific role or performances that holds a specific place in your heart? If so, what makes it so significant for you?
Not to get too sad here, but my mother passed away a couple of years ago to a heart attack. And she will never, that this was right as I started to get roles and book like career-defining things. And she will never get to see any of that. And that was a really hard thing for me to process as like a career actor, and calling my mom every day and being like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's like, she's a nurse. She didn't know what to tell me. So, you know, booking Lego She was a big deal to me because that was like, that was the role that I booked it, and then she died, and then I had to go in and record. And it was very hard. I managed to get through it, everything that I did in that show, I think, had a little bit of her in it too. And it was a very, you probably shouldn't do this as an actor, but it's something that just happened. It was a very good coping mechanism. It was a way for me to pour out a lot of my my emotions in a way that was very healthy, a way that made me some money, and a way that people really resonated with. That show came out and people really praised my performance, and I couldn't believe them for a period of time because I'm like, this was just my therapy, right? But I'm really glad that it came out the way that it did.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've never been a furry. But when I saw the stars on Netflix, I tried it. You know, I have a personality where, like, you know what? I'm not going to judge it until I actually watch it myself. I don't want to hear other people. I want to try it myself.
Right.
Your portrayal of Lego She really got me.
Thank you.
And it's so amazing. And I'm not even a furry. I enjoyed that show.
It means
really
a lot.
Did. And, like,
you know why you enjoyed it? Because it wasn't written for furries. It was written for people like you. It was written for anime fans and manga fans. It was written, it's a just a well-told story that just so happens to be about a wolf and a bunny. Like, you know, it's just like, you know, Robin Hood is a story that's been going on for thousands of years. And they made an animated Robin Hood with a fox in it, and suddenly it's a furry thing. So, yeah, it's just a really well-told
story.
You
also bring out Lego She so well.
Thank you very much. I acted my butt off from that one, so thank you. I'm glad it showed.
So, finally, this is my last question. What upcoming projects or roles can we look forward to hearing you in? And is there anything else you'd like to share with me?
Yeah, I can't tell you the name of any of it, but I'm playing the villain in a AAA action game that's coming out soon-ish. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about it, but I'm playing a major villain in a video game soon. I'm doing some anime work that you guys will hear about soon enough. You'll see me announce that stuff on my Twitter. If you want to keep up with everything that I'm doing, at I'm Mr. Transistor on Twitter. And I have recently, in the last 6 months, become a VTuber. Alpha Anarchy on Twitch. We got a really, really successful community going. I have a rock band with that VTuber that is on Spotify. Look up Midnight Howl on Spotify. We got a couple songs out, and we're trying to get the word out. In mid-June, we're going to have our whole album come out, so it's going to be very exciting. I can't wait to share that with you guys.
Well, Jonah, thank you so much for
this
interview with me. I know you're very busy. I hope you're
Always got time. We can make time.
I hope you're enjoying your Anime Central, and I hope to see you soon. And I hope Godspeed for more success for you.
Thank you so much, Cece. It's been a blast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.